Psalm 2. I'm taking the title for the message, Christ the King. Christ our King. Notice verse 6. God said, in spite of all the rebellion of men, in spite of all the sinfulness of men, God said, I've set my King. I've anointed my King, and I've done so upon my holy hill of Zion. The Lord Jesus Christ is the anointed Savior of sinners. This glorious psalm is a gospel psalm all over. While it may have some reference to King David, David reigned in Israel for 40 years, remember? Yet it speaks plainly and loudly of the greater David, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's King forever. David reigned 40 years. The Lord Jesus Christ is the everlasting King. From everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. This psalm tells us of His person, of His mediatorial work, and His righteous victory as the King of kings and Lord of lords, as the head and Lord of His kingdom. Our great God and Savior does rule and reign over all things, over all enemies, over all foes. And He rules and reigns over all of His people. Aren't you glad that He's our King? Whatever He does is right. His wisdom is perfect. His judgments are right. This psalm is referred to at least 3 times in the New Testament and always made reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4, where it says, the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together, Pontius Pilate and the Pharisees and all those things gathered together against the Lord's anointed. They only did what God determined before to be done. He actually used their wickedness to accomplish His purpose. That's how wise and great our God is. It's referred to again in Acts chapter 13, where Paul uses that to show us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only begotten, well-beloved Son of God who died for our sins, but He was raised from the dead, ascended to glory, and He is seated on the throne, ruling and reigning over all things. And again, it's referred to in Hebrews chapter 1, where it says, let all the angels of God worship Him. The Father said to the Son, Thou art God upon the throne. Now, there's a 4-point outline that we have in Psalm 2, verse 1 through 3. We see the rage of the wicked, the sinful rage of wicked men. How long has that been going on? Ever since Adam sinned. Ever since Adam sinned in the garden. Verses 4, 5, and 6, we see the Lord's reign, His absolute rule and sovereign reign over the wicked. He sits upon the sovereign throne undisturbed, undeterred by the rage of the wicked. In verses 7, 8, and 9, we see the Lord declares the decree of the gospel, His redeeming love, His redeeming grace. As He says there in verse 7, I will declare the decree. And that's the good news of the gospel. The decrees of God. The decrees of salvation. Salvation is by the Lord's decree. And then the 4th point will be this. Verses 10, 11, and 12. The Lord's instructions to us. To serve Him. To rejoice in Him. And to kiss and love Him and trust Him. It's a blessing to trust the Lord, to love Him, to kiss the Son. Kiss the Son. Now let's see, in verses 1, 2, and 3, we see the rage of wicked men, rebellion of the enemies of the Lord against the Lord and against His Christ. Verse 1, 2, and 3. Why do the heathen rage? Why do they rage in such anger? Why do people imagine, meditate upon such vain things? Vain things. Isn't it vanity to think that a puny, earthly creature can change the purpose and will of God? The kings of the earth set themselves and rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against His way, against His rule, and against His anointed. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what they say, let us break their bands, their rule. Let's break it asunder. Let's cast away the cords of God. I like what Brother Henry said on this verse, verse 3. He preached a message in 1977, I believe it was, and the title of the message was Goodbye God. Goodbye God. That's what they're saying. Let's do away with God. Let us break their bands. Let's cast away the cords from us. Goodbye God. We see here in these three verses the inherent hatred and enmity of the carnal mind and spirit against the sovereign rule of God. Wicked men will not bow to the sovereign rule of God left to himself. And the reason why the carnal mind, Romans 8:7, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It always has been since Adam's rebellion and Adam's sin. That is a case of every son of Adam born in a state of sin and rebellion against God. Depraved men love darkness rather than light. Why do the heathen sinners rage and kick and rebel against and hate the sovereign God of the universe? They said, we'll not have this man reign over us. Why do they meditate upon such vain schemes as to end his authority, to put God out of business, to be their own God? Isn't that what Adam tried in the garden? The Pharisees tried that at Calvary, didn't they? Pilate brought him forth and they said, Pilate said, behold, your king. Remember what they said? Away with him. We have no king but Caesar. You crucify this man. Away with him. Why? We see the ignorance. People are ignorant of the true character of God. He's not who we think He is. God is no peanut God. God is God, an absolute, holy, sovereign God. He does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of this earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, Lord God, what doest Thou? Whatsoever the Lord please, that's what He does in heaven, earth, sea, and all deep places. So men rebel against God because they're ignorant of the true character of God. Secondly, they're ignorant of the sinful character of their own wicked heart. Self-righteous pride causes puny, sinful creature to rebel against God. Let me show you a verse here, a few pages over. Look at Psalm 14. Psalm 14. The fool has said, verse 1, fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. No God for me. They are corrupt. They have done abominable work. There is none that doeth good. This is quoted in Psalm in Romans chapter 3. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any that did understand and seek God. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. That's why men rebel against God. They're ignorant of God. And they're so full of self-righteous, sinful pride to rebel against God. No fear of God before their eyes. When God was manifest in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, is not this exactly what they tried to do? They had tried to enthrone their own will and say, away with Him. We don't need Him. Goodbye, God. Preachers and pulpits today all over this world are still trying to do the same thing, aren't they? To cast off the sovereign authority of God and raise up the flag of free willism. To enthrone the human will. They say things like, well, God is sovereign, yeah, but He will not interfere with the creature's will. How silly is that? He better intervene. He better stop "I will" or "we'll perish in our sin." Salvation and eternal life depends upon the will of God, not the puny, sinful will of wicked men. You think God would plan all this whole thing of salvation and have it all depend upon the frail and fickle and sinful will of a creature, whether it's successful or not? God forbid. He said He works all things after the counsel of His own will. Of His own will beget He us with the word of truth. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy. Men may say, "Goodbye, God. Let us break their bands. Let us cast away God's cords of sovereignty over us." What's going to be the result? Here's the second thing. God still reigns. He's still on the throne. "He that sitteth in the heavens shall be undisturbed." Matter of fact, he finds it comical. He laughs. "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath, and vex them, trouble them, judge them with His sore displeasure. Yet, I've set my King upon my holy hill of Zion." God still reigns. God's still upon the throne. The Lord is not alarmed by the puny mutiny and the rebellion of sinners, is He? He sits undisturbed in the majesty of the splendor of His sovereign throne, quite amused by the wicked rebellion of men. As it says there in Psalm 4, they only did what God determined before to be done. "He shall laugh at them, at their futile and weak opposition against God." He's still on the throne. He's still seated on the throne. Turn over here to Psalm 37, a few pages over. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, 12, verse 12. "The wicked plotteth." You got it? Psalm 37, 12. "The wicked plotteth." They practice wickedness against the just one. "And they gnash upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming." All the kingdoms of the earth. Turn over to Isaiah 40. You familiar with this verse too? "All the nations before him," Isaiah 40, "behold," verse 15. Isaiah 40, 15. "Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him less than nothing and vanity." God is not disturbed by the rebellion of sinful men. "The Lord shall have them in derision. He will look upon them in contempt of his sovereign rule. Then will he speak to them, not in love, but in his holy wrath and anger, and vex and trouble them in his sore and dreadful displeasure. His wrath against sin is his holiness stirred into activity against our sin. Even when his wrath," as it says in verse 12, "kiss the sun, lest he be angry and he perish from the way," when his wrath is kindled just a little bit. I don't want anything to do with the wrath of God. Thank God the Lord Jesus Christ took all the wrath of God for us, and He gives us mercy because He took our judgment. Isn't that good news? As the sovereign of the universe, He does not need to step off His throne to exercise His authority and sovereignty. He only needs to speak a word, and it's done. Look over here at Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Look at verse 8. Psalm 33. The Lord doesn't even need to get off the throne. He just declares the decree. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. Verse 11, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. God is not disturbed by the rebellion and sinfulness of men. Yet He says, look at verse 6. Yet He says, I've anointed my king. You see that word set? The marginal reference is anointed. I've anointed my king. We know that Samuel went down to the house of Jesse and anointed David as king. And David, we know, is a picture and type of Christ, our king. God said, I've set my king, I've anointed my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Despite all opposition, despite the malice of wicked men against God, despite all unanimous opinions of rebels against God, the Lord still reigns supreme. He's not upset. He's not disturbed. He's not walking up there in heaven trying to figure out, wringing his hands, trying to figure out what he's going to do next. That's not the God of Scripture. God rules and reigns from everlasting to everlasting. His rule and His reign is right. Turn over here. We looked at this. Psalm 97, verse 1. Turn over there. God has already accomplished what the enemy has gone about to destroy. The Lord Jesus Christ is King and He is Lord. Psalm 97, look at verse 1. I've been thinking upon this verse. We brought a message from this several weeks ago. The Lord reigneth. Boy, just think about that. The Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. He reigns over all things. Even the wickedness of men, the Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude thereof be glad. And then turn back a couple psalms to Psalm 93, verse 1. The Lord reigneth. How long has He reigned? From everlasting to everlasting. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith He has girded Himself. The world also was established that it cannot be moved. Look at verse 2. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. He's the everlasting God. I've set my king, God's king, upon my holy hill Zion. God's anointed is appointed and shall not be disappointed. Behold my servant, my elect, in whom my soul delighteth. Isaiah 42:1. And then it says of Him, He shall not fail. God said, yet, in spite of Satan's rebellion, Adam's rebellion, all the rebellion of sinful men against God, yet He said, I've set my king. I've anointed my king upon my holy hill Zion. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. The Lord Jesus Christ is anointed in all of His office. In all of His office. You remember prophet, priest, and king. The Lord is anointed. The Lord Jesus Christ as a God-man mediator. He's anointed in all of His office as prophet to reveal the gospel unto us. As prophet to represent God to us. As a priest to redeem us with His own blood and to represent us unto God. And as prophet, priest, and potentate, He is the Most High God. He's a King that rules and reigns over all things. In creation, in providence, and in salvation. He's King. And he's not king by something we do. He's not Lord by something we do. People in religious circles say, well, make Jesus your Lord. My soul, you can't do that. Who you think you are? He's not Lord by a democratic process. God said, I've set him, I've anointed him as my king. You remember the apostle said God had made that same Jesus whom you crucified. Peter said God had made that same Jesus, that Jesus whom you crucified, God had made him both Lord and the Christ of God. All things are delivered into his hand. God's not in our hand. We're in his hand. All things are delivered unto his hand. He has power over all flesh to give eternal life to as many as the Father hath given to him. Aren't you glad he has power? What does a terrible, dead, vile sinner need? A great Savior. He is the only one that can save us from our sin. One day soon, every rebel will be made to bow to the sovereign crown right of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I want to be made to bow now by His love and by His grace. Here's the third thing, verse 7, 8, 9. The Lord Jesus declares the decree of the gospel. I will, He says, declare the decree, the good news of the gospel, coming to save sinners. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them, these people who are heathens by birth, by nature, by practice. He shall break them with a rod of iron. That's the gospel, his word, and thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. The Lord Jesus Christ comes forth as the great preacher of the gospel. Turn over here to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. Look at verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, Psalm 40, verse 7, it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached. The Lord Jesus Christ is a preacher, preaching the good news of the gospel. I preach righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I've not refrained my lips. He has declared the decree of God. O Lord, thou knowest, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercy from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me, for innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me. This is Christ our substitute, so that I'm not able to look up there more than the hairs of my head. Therefore my heart faileth. The Lord Jesus Christ bears our sin in his own body on the tree. The gospel is an everlasting gospel. It is as old as God. It is the gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is the decree of God to save sinners only through the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's the decree of the gospel. I will declare the decree. What? Salvation to God's people through the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And this is from the foundation of the earth. For the Lord Jesus Christ is a lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. Before there was a sinner, there was a Savior. Before Adam fell, the Lord Jesus Christ stood as our surety. He's a surety of the covenant. He's a sacrifice of the covenant. He's brought again from the dead through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And he's a Savior of his covenant people. He's a surety, the sacrifice, and the Savior. Oh, what a Savior we have. He's called God, our Savior. He's the only well-beloved, begotten, eternally begotten Son of God. He's a true and proper eternal Son, owned and acknowledged and declared so by the Father. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well plea. This day of beginning is a timeless day of God's eternal decree, for with God there is no time. Turn over here to Hebrews chapter 1. Let me show you what I'm... And this is where this verse is quoted here. The only eternally begotten Son of God. We see the eternal day of the beginning revealed in time for what God decreed in eternity. He displayed in time, Hebrews chapter 1. And this is where that verse is quoted. Look at verse 3. Hebrews 1 verse 3. Who being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He by Himself purged our sins, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by an inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For under which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art My Son, this day have I begotten Thee. And again I will be to Him a Father, and again He shall be to Me a Son. And again, when He bringeth the first begotten into the world, He saith, Let all the angels of God worship Him. Of the angels, He saith, who maketh His angels spirits, and His ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of Thy kingdom. Now look back at Psalm 2. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of His fullness have we all received grace for grace. Now look at verse 8. Psalm 2 verse 8. Ask of Me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Verse 9. Thou shalt break them. These people given to the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll break them with the gospel, with a rod of iron. That's the power of His word. And thou shalt dash them in pieces. Any hope we have but the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll dash it in pieces like a potter's vessel. The Father said to the Son, on the ground of His merit, His righteousness, on the ground of the success of His sacrifice, ask what you will, and it's yours. All is given to the Lord Jesus Christ as a reward of His suffering and His obedience unto death. He bought us with His own blood. Know this, He's going to have what He bought. He bought us. He's going to have us. All that the Father hath given to Me, they will come to Me. And those that come to Me, He says, I'll never cast them out. I'll give thee the heathen. Who's He talking about here? Talking about God's elect. What are we by nature? Heathen. Heathen. Sinners. Guilty. He gives us, you see, He is the elect. We're chosen in Him. God gave Him a people out of every kindred, tribe, nation, tongue under heaven for an inheritance, an eternal inheritance. His kingdom will extend to the uttermost parts of the earth. Verse 9. The uttermost parts of the earth. God has a people everywhere. Everywhere. In every nation. Every kindred. Every tongue. What does He say of them? He will conquer them. Thou shalt break them. Those given to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's nigh them of a broken heart. He breaks them with the rod of the gospel. Dashes any hope they have other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Dashes our hope of self-righteousness, false refuge. He'll dash them away and teach us the gospel. Be wise now. Look at verse 10. Be wise now. I would be led the willing captive of the Lord Jesus Christ. How about you? Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive all honor, glory, and blessing. Serve the Lord. Paul called himself many times, what? The servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an honor to serve the Lord with fear, reverence, and then rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. We are the true Israel which worship God in the Spirit, that rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. Serve the Lord. Would you be wise? Would you be a wise man? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Would you be a wise man? Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with fear. Would you be a wise man? Rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. Find your hope of salvation and righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you be a wise man? Verse 12. Well, kiss the Son. Kiss the Son. That's a embrace of affection and love and submission. Kiss the Son. Like that woman who anointed the Lord's feet with the tears from her eyes and kissed His feet. Kiss the Son. Bow to the Son. Lest He be angry and you perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Would you be wise? Kiss the Son. Would you be wise? Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. For us. Look right across the page at Psalm 7, verse 1. O Lord my God, in Thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. One other psalm. Turn over here to Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way, Psalm 32, 8, which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as a horse or as a mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be the wicked, but he that trusteth the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous. Shout for joy, all you that are upright in heart. One other psalm, Psalm 34. We read this last week, didn't we? Psalm 34, look at verse 8. Oh, taste and see, the Lord is good. Blessed is a man that trusteth in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints. For there is no want to them that fear Him. He's able to meet all our need according to His riches in Christ Jesus through our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you be wise? Serve the Lord. Rejoice in Him. Bow to His Lordship. Own Him as everything in salvation. And those who do are blessed of God. They're blessed of God. With all spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, in the Lord Jesus Christ.